Page 38, 39, last paragraph. 1, 2, 3, 4. I think fourth line from the top of the last paragraph. The fact is that, okay, did you find? The fact is that the nature of things rides bustle. It is people eat food, food eats people. the fact, this is a commentary, Dogen Zenji's commentary on Basel's statement. I think Basel Zen Master says all living beings for infinite eons have never left absorption in the nature of things. I think Dharma nature is a continuous activity of the Dharma. That is a Dharma nature. So in this case, the Dharma is not the things. So I think this is a Dharma nature. The Dharma of the Dharma nature is the pure life, kind of a pure life. It's okay. Very pure life. So, Dharma nature is the continuous activity of the Dharma itself. And then, Dharma nature's samadhi is a state of concentrating on the continuous activity of the Dharma itself. This is a Dharma nature samadhi. In other words, Dharma nature itself possesses capability of concentrating on the continuous activity of the Dharma itself. So from this point, Dharma nature implies the process that, how can I say, the very pure life, beyond any forms, constantly penetrates and carries out the person's life, or tree's life, or bird's life, water's life, any kind of life. Okay. This is a Dharma nature samadhi. So Dharma nature, the Dogen Zenji tried to say about Dharma nature is inborn knowledge, innate knowledge. He says inborn knowledge. So inborn knowledge is not something categorized by human consciousness, so-called good or bad, right, wrong, no. So completely inborn knowledge is so-called Dharma nature. Dogen Zenji tried to say this one. Okay. So, Dharma nature samadhi, that inborn knowledge which is really alive in our life, is the pure, very pure life, very pure life, constantly penetrating and carrying out the person's life and also others' life, animate, inanimate beings. So that's why Dharma nature is not philosophical concept. It is activity. It is the activity of the pure life. Okay? Activity. That is a Dharma nature, we say. So, in the beginning of this lecture, I think of this chapter, I mentioned Dhamma nature is a truth. So if you think of truth, I think truth is not merely the philosophical term or spiritual term. It is the activities, the activity of the pure life of the universe. This is the truth. So truth is not limited by any concept, because it is constantly functioning and penetrating and carrying out all kind of life. This is Dhamma nature samadhi. Okay, it says Dhamma nature samadhi. The fact that the nature of things rise, bustle, so very naturally Dhamma nature constantly penetrates and carries out the person's life. So very naturally, this is a bustle. Five skandhas. Who has the five skandhas? The bustle, and all of us anyway. So Dhamma nature constantly penetrates, carries out all sentient beings. That's why here says, the Dhamma nature, the nature of things, rise, bustle. Exactly, relationship is exactly oneness, not separated. But still this expression is horse and bustle, rider and horse. But actually, no horse, no person. Then, this is called relationship between Dhamma nature and person's life. Okay? So, in order to express that meaning, he says, the Dhamma nature, rise, bustle. Okay. In Zen, another term, another expression is that donkey arrives before horse that leave. Means two things simply cannot exist simultaneously. Okay? So if one A want to occupy this place, I think B should leave. Okay? Otherwise, A cannot occupy this place. But that, according to the Zen expression, donkey arrives before horse leaves. Means simultaneously there. Do you understand? That is function. That is activities of the Dhamma nature, activity of the truth. We don't know why, how. How two things come. That's why it's amazing. Exchanging. Constant exchanging in the position of A and B and C. Many things. Is that clear? Constantly changing. I say exchange or change in the position.
So that's different from simultaneous.
Simultaneous. Change. It's simultaneous. We're simultaneous, but we say change. But that simultaneous means very quickly exchange and change. But we don't know how. But it says. For instance, well, later, it's kind of the Dogen dimensions. That's why, let's see the page 40. In the first paragraph, and the end of the first paragraph, first paragraph. Look at the first paragraph. Dogen dimension, it is manifestation of the nature of the things of clothing. It is the manifestation of the nature of wearing. If one does not dress or eat, does not talk or answer, does not use the senses, does not act at all, it is not the nature of things. It is not entering the nature of things. So, I think the person's life and Dhamma nature is constantly exchanged at the super speed, so we don't know how. So if you give up your life, well, you cannot see, you cannot enter the Dharma natures. If you don't take care of your life with sincerity, Dharma nature is still there, but a Dharma nature is not something you can completely realize. So still it's there, but it's still rough, just like a rough diamond, you know. So that's why it's very close, exchanging constantly, changing the in the position of the Dharma nature and you, always changing. So very naturally, if you take care of your life, the in action with sincerity, very naturally, Dharma nature, the Dharma nature which has its own capability, penetrates constantly and carried out person's life. Very naturally. That's why Dogen Zenji mentions the practice is just like walking in the mist. Before you are conscious of it, you get the dress wet, naturally. So even though you don't experience big experience through the practice and etc., anyway, Dharma nature constantly penetrates and carries out your life. This is a truth, Dharma nature. Dharma nature samadhi. That's what samadhi is, characteristic of Dharma nature, which is constantly functioning. Relating with the person's life, all sentient beings, very closely, no gap between. Okay? So that's why if you don't act, you cannot enter. You cannot enter into the Dharma nature. Okay? So, the fact that the nature of things rise, bustle. So, bustle's body is completely bustle himself. Is exactly Dharma nature. It is people eat food. So if you eat the food, if you sit, take care of the vegetables, you take care of vegetables, but vegetable takes care of you simultaneously because vegetable and you are constantly they communicate. You know, they between without creating any gap. That's why I mentioned during session, just like two persons stand back to back with each other. Do you remember that example? This is a very good example for you to understand the relationship, perfect relationship between the Dharma nature and you and others. So, constant that relation is nothing but whole symmetrical balance at the energy, okay, between you and all sentient beings. That's why if you see this symmetrical energy between the two, I think if you see this A person, it's not necessary to talk about B because B is already absorbed, included. Constant. So all you have to do is take care of A. That's it. So very naturally, all sentient beings are absorbed into A's life as a contents. I always use the contents or quality of A's life. That is called A life is. Whole universe, we say. Whole universe. That's why if you eat the vegetables, you eat a vegetable, but vegetable eats because vegetable is already nothing but your quality, the quality of your life. So vegetable eats you. So very natural if you practice zazen, even though you don't understand, zazen eats you. So very natural you can get the breath wet. Before you're conscious of it. This is a relationship between the truth, universe, and you. Okay? So, intellectually, it doesn't make sense. If you say people eat food, or food eats you, people, it doesn't make sense, but it is really true. Even ever since the nature of things, it has never left absorption in the nature of things. That's why everything without exceptions has never left absorption in the Dharma nature. No, never left. Okay. So your life completely absorbed into the Dharma nature samadhi. In other words, we always act in the sphere, in the realm of Dhamma nature samadhi. Just like a monkey I mentioned, say, the monkeys always try to show his capability to check the end of the universe. But the end of the universe is just a portion of the universe, portion of the Buddha's hands. So wherever you may go, you are exactly in the realm of Dhamma nature. This is, he says, it has never left absorption in the nature of things. It doesn't leave the nature of things after the nature of things, because Dhamma nature is, Dhamma nature doesn't have a before or after, or front or back, or inside or outside. Whole universe is occupied by the Dhamma nature. So no inside, no outside, no front, no back. This is called vast openness. Vast openness of sky, where the bird can fly freely, okay, forever. The Dogen mentions in Zazen Shin in that way. It doesn't leave the nature of the things after the nature of things. It doesn't leave the nature of things before the nature of things. So whether it means wherever you may go, okay? Wherever you may go, no way, no door to escape. The nature of things along with infinite eons means the boundless, limitless period of time beyond your calculations. This is infinite eons. Before the world is born or not. Anyway, Dhamma nature is Dhamma nature. Truth is truth. Truth is one. So, he says the nature of things along with infinite eons is absorption in the nature of things. The nature of things is called infinite eons. That's why truth is eternity. We say truth is eternity. If you say eternity, it's already a word, so that's why you start to calculate what the eternity is in comparison with not eternity. So very naturally you are disappointed. Because you have to practice in the realm of eternity. But that eternity is no calculations, nothing. Therefore, the here of the immediate present is the nature of things. That's why nature of things, Dhamma nature, is not just something abstract. It is exactly the here of immediate present. This is a Dhamma nature. This is a Dhamma nature. This is a function of a Dhamma nature, activity of a Dhamma nature, which is called Dhamma nature samadhi. Dhamma nature samadhi. The nature of things is the here of the immediate present. So Dhamma nature is not concept. It is exactly the here of immediate present. Your present, right now, right here. This is a Dhamma nature. Wearing clothes and eating food is the wearing clothes and eating food of absorption in the nature of things. So, if you really take care of eating food with sincere heart, with wholeheartedness, it is called samadhi, concentration. That samadhi is exactly the same activity as the Dhamma nature's activities, so-called samadhi. So Dhamma nature's constantly penetrate and carry out, accomplish your life. So if you take care of your life, very naturally the Dhamma nature's respond to your life because it's there. So if you don't stick out your hands, Dhamma nature don't know how to stick out its own hands to shake hand, to shake. So you have to anyway stick out your hand and anyway shake each other. That is important. Even though you don't want to shake, if you stick out your hand, if you give your hand to the universe, very naturally universe gives its hands to you. That is, here says, wearing clothes and eating food is wearing clothes and eating food of absorption in the nature of things. So wearing clothes and eating food is not usual daily routine you have believed. It is really activity of Dhamma nature. Because it is the food or eating food of absorption in the Dhamma nature. See, it is the manifestation of the Dhamma nature of food. It is manifest, that's right, she says, it is a manifestation of the nature of things of food. It is a manifestation of the nature of things of eating. It is manifestation of the nature of things of clothing. It is the manifestation of the nature of things of wearing. If one doesn't dress or eat, does not talk or answer, does not use the senses, does not act at all, it is not the nature of things. It is not entering the nature of things. If one doesn't dress or eat, means that if you see your activity in terms of subject, it doesn't work. But you have to act, you have to wear, you have to dress, means activity of dressing, means not the activity seen from you. Okay? That activity must be seen from activity itself. At that time, you are absorbed. Because Dhamma nature is also constantly activity. Your body and mind is nothing but the activity of five scandals. But human consciousness always they conceptualize everything. Conceptualize activity of your five scandals, activity of your life. And then we say it is five scandals, or it is six senses. We really conceptualized. But strictly speaking, five scandals are nothing but activity. Your consciousness are nothing but activities. So in activity, nothing to catch up objectively. All are sucked in there and living in harmony. Consciousness knows. Your consciousness can know what you are acting. That consciousness never catch up objectively. So, very naturally, consciousness is there, but consciousness is exactly melted away, fused together with the activities. So, doing something is exactly, how can I say, exactly not to see something from you, but from object. You know, the object means not only that table I can see. Object means if I take care of this table as an object, I shouldn't see this activity from my viewpoint. But I have throw myself away to the table means I or my activity should be seen from the table, including all other circumstances and beings around the table. At that time, it is called to act in the pure sense. That is our practice, refined human action. So if you see yourself inside from your senses, it doesn't make sense, you know. It doesn't work. You cannot tune in. It doesn't work means you cannot tune into the dial of universal radio station. You cannot tune in. Always you miss. So, that's why this is, that it means, okay? That's why Dogen Zen says, if one doesn't dress or eat, doesn't talk or answer, doesn't use the senses, doesn't act at all, it is not nature of things. It is not entering the nature of things. You never enter. You never enter. You never tune into the dial of a radio station of a Dharma nature. No. You never. So all you have to do is you have to act. Actually, what do you mean to act? Don't see anything from your viewpoint. So that's why we always say wholeheartedness, shikan, or egolessness, Buddha mentions, always mentions like this. It is not to destroy the subject. The egolessness is to put yourself in a broad scale of the world. That is egolessness. Okay? But we always put ourselves in the small scale of the world, so-called I, so-called the world, six senses can see or hear. That's it. That's all we do. This is called ego. This is called ego. Okay? Is that okay? Do you have a question? Do you now? If you don't, I want to go farther.
You said that two things are always constantly changing.
Yeah, changing doesn't mean the Dogen Zen mentions in Jijyu Zammai, we chanted in the Dogen session. He says it doesn't disturb even a single mote of dust. And more infringe upon a single phenomenon, even a single phenomenon. But in a common sense, if you change, two things change the place, I think, you know, you have, in many ways, you disturb, okay? Disturb of even a single form of the dust, or you infringe upon anyway form. But in the realm of truth and the universal life, in pure life, think many things interconnected, interpenetrate without disturbing even a single mote of dust. Completely. But that's why Karagiri is Karagiri, but Karagiri is not Karagiri. That kind of thing's coming up. Okay? So if I want to see the relation between I and you, I have to see me. I have to see you. Okay? But it's not. If you see all this relation like that, you know, the relation doesn't make sense. Don't you think so? So very naturally, you have to see Karagiri and you with no Karagiri, no you. Because interchanged, interconnected. That's what you mean?
A rough. Diamond and rough, mm-hmm. Dharma
nature
is unrealizing. Were you saying that I'm a diamond and a rough, or that the
Dharma
nature is like diamond and rough?
Dharma nature is always beyond the rough diamond, or not rough diamond. It's always a diamond, Dharma nature.
We can't change Dharma nature, we
no.
Can change ourselves.
Yes, change we should open. We should unfold.
So Dharma nature is beyond that, the idea of pure or impure.
Mm-hmm. That is called inborn knowledge, we say, innate knowledge. Okay, innate, right? Here it says.
But it's pure activity.
Pure, very pure activity. So that's why pure activity is, so you have to act in pure sense. Concentration, we say. Total concentration. This is pure activity. Is that okay? Sure. Anybody?
Total?
100% is 80%. Exactly. Yes, 100%. Perfect. Yes, you can. If you think it, it is 80%. But 80% is 100%. So through the 80%, you have to achieve 100%. Yes, you can. You know? So through the 80%, you can achieve, you can reach the 100%. Can't you?
So, if I try as hard as I can and I reach 80%, actually that's all I can do, so that's 100%.
Right? But don't compare. You should accept 80% as it is. At that time, 80% becomes 100%. If you compare from the beginning, 80% is always 80% compared in comparison with 100%. So 80% is 80%. 80%. If you accept 80% as it really is, it becomes 100%.
If I accept 50%
of the value, is that from 100%? No. It is the same thing. In 80%, you should accept 100%, etc., you know. That is already comparison. That's why 80% should be accepted as it truly is.
So what I'm saying though, is it just the function of accepting it that makes it 100%? So it doesn't matter if it's
accepting. Accepting is how can you? The accepting is the way you act on it. You act on how you act on 80%. It's not merely accepting. You have to act on. Anybody can accept, but it doesn't work. Accept and work.
So
work on it. For instance, I mentioned always the calligraphy, the electromagnetic calligraphy, and using a brush. The brush is a certain portion of the brush. So you can use 100%. You can put the ink can be soaked. Okay? The whole part, 100%. But when you start to write calligraphy, you can't use whole part of a brush. You have to use 70%. And then 30% is flexible. Very flexible. That's why what? 80%, 70% is exactly 100%. Right in the middle of activity of calligraphy. You understand? Right in the middle of activity, something that you don't understand can be possible. Because 80% becomes 100%. Because if you use a brush, 70% and the red calligraphy, that calligraphy is really alive. But if you use 100%, it's dead. Calligraphy is dead. So how can? How can 70% become 100%? I don't know. But if you do it, and right in the middle of activity, in a pure sense, it arrives. It comes into existence. Okay? That's why you should accept. But it's not only the acceptance, but also you have to work on it. Okay? How do you work on? This is also various, vary. You do all the same zazens, but everyone, different zazen. I always give the same instructions again and again, but people accept completely in a different way. Even the posture, even the mentally, lots of things. So that's why everyone, teacher gives the same suggestion, instruction, how to swim in the ocean. But if you start to swim, quality of experience is different. Do you understand? That's why I always say, if you do the Zen, anyway, do the Zen. 100% as best as you can. How? 80%. You should do 80%. Totally accept 80%. Because 80% is still, the good feeling or bad feeling, pleasant feeling, it's there. But those coming from 30%, which is flexible. So you should accept this one. You cannot be involved in so much because you have to swim totally. So accept that the 80%, 70%, then swim totally. That is then 100% coming up. That is swimming. Same apply to the calligraphy. Same apply to the zazen. So I want to tell you, please have one thing, okay, which you can do in your whole life, okay? Complete the word in your whole body and mind to do it. Complete 80%. Under all circumstances, or even though people criticize you, under all circumstances, you try to have one thing from the beginning to end. This is great. Without the beyond a sense of person, come success and failure. Whatever happens, all you have to do is just do. I have this one thing I can do. Totally. That's it. It's not showy. Okay? You should have this one. Okay? Then it's really developed your life. Okay?
Mm-hmm. What about that? You talked about
80%
is 100%.
The first
thing you mentioned is 100% is 80%.
Well, 100% to 80%, if you use a number, the number is already in the heuristic sense, so you are confused. But actually, 80% is temporary. I can say 80%, but 80% is nothing but 100%, because 80% is already working in the realm of 80%, in the realm of the 100% or so-called diamond nature. So all we can do, that's why we can say 80% is 100%. Basel, rise, diamond nature. Diamond nature, rise, basel. We can say, but intellectually it doesn't make sense, but actually it is a total reality. Okay? That's right. Even though you don't pay attention to it, it helps your calligraphy for your practice. That's why you get the dress wet before you're conscious of it. So, let's say like this, please do 100%, okay? But if you do 100%, you can't feel 100% perfectly. So obviously it's 70%. But the problem is, people are completely disappointed with this, okay? Because the obvious people see their own undoings in terms of comparison. So 100% means do it. Anyway, do it 100%. That is great, 100%. You can do whatever you feel, okay? 80%, 70%. Anyway, you do 100%. So whatever you do, 100% is not a complete 100% in terms of consciousness, usual sense. Okay, I mean, if you do 80%, you don't feel good. You know, even though you do 100%, you don't feel good. So same things. But practically, what you can do is 70-80%. We can do it. You know, because there is a limitation of the physical body, mental situation. But it is perfect. Basel rights, you know, the domination. That's why even though you don't use the 30%, 20%, you already use it. Because it makes your calligraphy arrive as a whole. Is that clear? Yes, 20% is kind of 100% there, and 70% you use, and 20% is there. Well, this is nothing but the portion of the 100%. Okay? That's why it's 20% influences very much 80%. Even though you don't use in a dualistic sense. Okay? Separation between 80% 20% is the consciousness. Okay? Right. Nothing to do because it is a portion of 100%. Portion of the universe. So it's not necessary to disappoint it, or it's not necessary to excite. All you can do is you should accept it and use that limitation of the bodies. Then later, Dobin Rinpoche mentioned it like that. Okay. One more paragraph. Let me go. Okay. the manifestation of the path of the immediate present was transmitted by the Buddha, reaching Shakyamuni Buddha, collecting, conveyed by the Zen adepts. It reached Vaso. It's the manifestation of path of the immediate present. At the path of the immediate present include the total relationship between the Dhamma nature and phenomena. This is the path of the immediate present. So called true reality, in other words, the true reality is a path of the Buddha. So right now, right here, is nothing but manifestation of the path of immediate present. Was transmitted by the Buddha, so this is called in many ways Dhamma nature, truth, Buddha nature, Dhammakaya, many things. But anyway, that Dhamma nature or truth is not limited by individual, not by the Basa only, but it is universal. So it is for the Shakyamuni Buddha and Mahakashyapa and the 65 ancestors and 50 ancestors, etc. Okay? It's universal. Everyone's. That is path of immediate present. Okay? That is called Dhamma nature. Dhamma nature is yours because you can realize it, but it's not yours. It is universal. Okay? That universal Dhamma nature is handed down from generation to generation. Buddha realized it, same things. Mahakashyapa realized the same things. Anyway, it's universal. That point he says. Okay? The reaching Shakyamuni Buddha, so the collecting conveyed by the Zen adepts, it is reached the Basso. That is the Basso. That is the way which Basso realized. Okay? Buddha to Buddha, adept to adept, correctly convey and handed on. It has been correctly communicated in absorption in the nature of things. So very naturally, it has been correctly communicated in absorption in the nature of things. What you have to convey, this is a Dhamma nature, the Dhamma nature. You have to convey Dhamma nature from generation to generation, which you have realized, but also that which is universal to everyone. So that is what we call Dhamma transmission, we say. It has been correctly communicated, so communicate because we and all disciples and teachers and Buddhist scriptures, sutras, all are communicated in the absorption, in the function, in the activity of the Dhamma nature. That is called absorption. Okay? Absorption in that nature of things. Buddhas and Zen adepts, not entering enliven the nature of things. Buddhas and Zen adepts, not entering means Buddhas and Zen adepts not entering or not leaving, because Zen adepts and also Buddhas, Mahakashyapas are communicated in the world of Dhamma nature samadhi. That's why Dhamma nature samadhi is not a certain place which you try to get into or get out, because we are already there. Okay. That's why he says, Buddhas and Zen adepts, not entering, enliven the nature of things. That's why you, instead of you are used by Dharma nature, you can use Dharma nature. Okay? While you are used by Dharma nature, that time it's very difficult for you to realize Dharma nature it really is. But when you start to use Dharma nature, it's naturally you can realize, even though you don't know intellectually, but it's penetrates. Dharma nature exudes your five skandhas. Is that, it makes sense? Yeah, penetrates. Penetrates. So Dharma nature coming out naturally. Okay? That's why Dogen then mentions if you walk in the mist, you can get the dress wet. It is same things. Okay? Same things. And also Zen Master the Koan, there is a Zen Koan's I forgot the name, but Zen teacher's name. He mentions about I don't have a particular things to depend on, but I can use 12 hours. If you have, he said, I don't have any particular things to depend on. If you have something to depend on, it is called you are used by something because you always depend on. But if you don't have anything to depend on, you can use 12 hours. Exactly. That time you can realize, because even though you don't know intellectually, but Dharma nature or something penetrates and coming out oozing, can penetrate your skin and muscle and bone naturally. That is our practice. Our practice. Practice in realization, we say. Okay? So practice, we do practice by our effort, but practice is growing in the big scale of the world, penetrating you and carrying out your life naturally. That's why it is called practice in realization, realization in practice. Okay. You can read the Bendo Wa, he mentions about this point. Okay, though externalist scholars may have the term nature of things. Externalist scholar means scholastic person, scholastic, using praying with the word always. Okay? Now, praying with the word means cheated by the word always. Okay? Being used by the word instead of using the word. And cause their life to be alive. Do you understand what I mean? If you are used by word, you cannot cause your life to be alive, because everything becomes conceptualized. So you have to use the words to cause your life to be alive. Then this is really nothing to depend on. Words becomes great treasure for you. So, though externalists may have the term nature of things, it is not the nature of things spoken of by Basel, because scholars of his nations, our five skandhas are nothing but the Dharma nature. Dharma nature is in or with five skandhas. Five skandhas are in Dharma nature, something like that. You know, always using the word, but it is completely different from Dharma nature mentioned by Basel, because by Basel, Basel writes Dharma nature. Exactly same thing. Exactly one. Means Basel uses dominator in every aspect of his life. In other words, his every aspect of his life blooming the flowers in everywhere, every inch of the world, the universe. Okay. In that time, it is called Basel Rise, Dominator. Dominator Rise, Basel. Exactly. Though the power to propose that living beings who don't leave the nature of things are not the nature of things may achieve something. This is three or four new layers of the nature of things. Where we say, I am not Buddha nature. I don't understand my father's kind of exactly writing the dominator. I don't understand, so I don't want to believe in that way. What that thinking is also in the absorption of the dominator. You don't like, or I don't want to believe, or not. Whatever you say, that you're thinking is also nothing but in the absorption of the dominator. Okay? So that's where he says, this is three or four new layers of the dominator. So if you say, I don't want to believe, this is one layer of the dominator. In other words, temporarily, dominator appears as not belief. That's it. Next moment, you want to believe. To speak, reply, function, and act as if it were not the nature of things must be the nature of things. Okay? The same things. The days, the months of infinite eons are the passage of the nature of things. Days, every days are nothing, must be the nature of the things, dominator. So obviously this is path. Every day is a path of the dominator. The same is so of past, present, and future. Same apply to the past, present, future. If you take the limit of the body and mind as the limit of the body and mind and think it is far from the dominator, this thinking still is the dominator. So still it is the dominator. Even though you say, I can only do 80%, I can make an effort only 80%. It is also dominant. It is also manifestation of 100%. In other words, 80% is working in the realm of the absorption of the 100% world. Even though you don't believe or you believe, thinking or not thinking in that way. Anyway, 80% working like that. If so, why not? Accept it and work on it. Okay. This thinking still is nature of things. If you don't consider the limit of the body and mind as the limit of the body and mind, thinking it is not the nature of things, this thought too is the nature of things. Okay? So, next, thinking and not thinking are both the nature of things. Whatever you think, thinking or not thinking, 80%, 100%, good or bad, right or wrong, all are in the dominator. Well, what is the dominator? So, you've kind of thing, it doesn't intimation, non-thinking. Okay. That is a different expression, non-thinking. The thinking and not thinking are both the nature of things. To learn that since we have said nature, it means that water must not flow and trees must not bloom and wither is heretical. means the Dharma nature. If you say Dharma nature, or if you believe Dharma nature, or the truth. Truth seems to be absolute, where nothing changes exactly. So no form of change, blooming or not blooming, origination, no extinction. We believe in that. So perfectly nothing, okay? Perfect nothing, no samsaras, we believe. That is called absolute, we say, usually. But this is heretical. So, the truth is something alive, something enlivened, okay? Something enlivened, every day. This is Dharma nature. That point, this is a point that is mentioned in this chapter. Okay. Do you have a question?
Say one more time that sentence back up about the power to propose that living beings who don't believe the nature of things are not the nature of things may achieve something. This is 3 or 4 new levels of the nature of things.
Though the power to propose that living beings who don't believe the nature of things are not the nature of things. Well, we have, in other words, we have kind of a strong belief. We have a kind of a strong belief. We don't want to accept the Dharma nature. Okay? We don't want to accept ourselves who never live in the Dharma nature. We don't want. This is a very strong power for us. But even though you have such a power, still that power itself is also something working in the realm of the Dharma nature. So it's really compassionate. It's really compassionate. So there is a two important point. If you want to understand Dogen's the religious life, okay? One is you have to totally accept your life as a Buddha from the beginning to end. This is you must be completely compassionate, thoughtful, kindness to human body, human life. This is one point. Second, that is a practice, activity. Through the inner realm of practice, you can see non-thinking world. In other words, Dharma nature, where thinking or not thinking are both interconnected, interpenetrated. This is a place, this is a passage to go through the Buddhist world, but never by intellectual sense, no. So, you have to completely accept and believe you and all sentient beings are Buddha. That's why in the Shobo Genda, Dogen Zenji mentions only Buddha and Buddha. Okay, this is exactly. He mentions about this. We are Buddha. So this is the first point. Then that Buddha can be manifested right in the midst of the practice itself. You know, practice is not, you know, the concept of the practice. Something alive. Do you understand? We have to be exactly something alive. Is that clear? That's 2 point. Because if you office being present in the street flow of continuous practice, constantly practice, I think you can be naturally, you can be free from concept, always. Okay? this, because through the practice you can reach a certain stage immediately. But if you continue practice, very naturally you can be free from a certain stage which you have reached, and then you have to continue carry the practice in motion constantly. You understand? That's why in the practice in motion causes you to be free from. That's why the Rinzai says drops off. Drops off. This is important. That's why Dogen Zenji's first experience in China is body and mind casting off. That's a drops off. This is enlightenment. This is enlightenment. So constantly we have to practice. We have to be in the liberations, okay? Liberations. Being free from any concept means that makes your life really alive. That's enlivening your life. Because we are apt to be caught by the concept, result, you know, the category, the essence of human body, many things. Pros and cons, success and failure, many things. It's very difficult to be free from those stuff, okay? Because they are really tied up with us very closely. So the people don't know how. That's why their head becomes getting bigger and bigger again and again, you know. Finally, they don't know what to do in the realm of head. And then when the head is pop, you know, that is complete suicide anyway. Sure, normally same thing. So in a general sense, there are many things you can take it, okay, as a one. Okay? But if you want to know, I'm talking about understanding your life as a whole, not in terms of a particular angle, so-called arts or so-called farm's life or so-called sports life, etc. Spiritual life is to see your life in a really universal, huge universal perspective. And also that life must be enlivened in every aspect of your life. Not only the sports life, not only the musical life, not only the mountain climbers life. Anyway, wherever you may go, it must be. This is called spiritual life. You say, if you want, well, you have to choose the one thing. In the realm of spiritual world, it's huge. How? Now, let's follow a little bit many things which Buddhas and ancestors did. Okay? Yeah. So let's pick one. And then do it. That's enough. Is that clear? If you want to, it doesn't mean that the taking care of a car is quite different from that spiritual life. It's all right. Okay? So still you can learn, you know, samadhi and the spiritual sense. You can learn. Sure.
This sentence right here, to learn that since we have said nature, it means that water must not flow and trees must be blooming, whether it is theoretical. Does that mean that Dharma, nature, and phenomena work together simultaneously? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the during the intimations, people have a usual sense that they're about absolute or truth, which is separate from phenomena. So that's why people want to jump over from the samsaric world and enter into the spiritual world, fantastic spiritual world. It's really exciting, isn't it? We harvest, and so it seems to be good, but it's for me, it's nothing but to make your head big. Don't you think so? So your head, your conscious spirituality is getting bigger, but that spirituality is not exactly one with your heart and body. No, separate. That's why your body cannot catch up. Very naturally, your five senses is left behind. And then spirituality is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That is called mystical mysticism. So through the mysticism, you have to jump over. You know, in other words, you have to be, your life must be the vending machine, you know, put the coins and push a button and get it, you know. So jump over. That is called belief. Exactly. No explanation. So you can skip off middle, you know, perhaps score is in the middle, but you don't pay attention to it. All you can do is push a button because people say so, you know, and you can get naturally this one. If you believe, then you become happy. People say so, so I want to do it. Push a button. So they don't want to talk about, you know, mirrors, you know. Do you understand? Is that clear?
I have another question. Where he's talking about the teaching being communicated and handed on. It's something that I've wondered about for quite a while, because Dogen says that Ru Jing was the first master in hundreds of years to understand the Dharma. And so does that mean that the Dharma can be correctly handed on even though people didn't understand what they were doing?
Even though people don't understand what the Dharma is, I think the still Dharma nature is Dharma nature.
And so was it taught to Rujing, or he just discovered it himself, like Shakyamuni Buddha did?
You mean the Rujing? Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
But what about his Dharma teacher, Rujing?
Oh, his teacher?
His teacher really didn't understand what was translated from to Rujing.
Well, he did also. His teacher too.
Why did Dogen say?
Huh?
Why did Dogen say?
Two or 300 years, no teacher could understand the Dharma.
Well, that means the Dharma nature. The Dharma nature, they destroyed. Even though there are many people who didn't understand. Nobody didn't understand Dharma nature. It doesn't mean Dharma nature was destroyed. No. So Dharma nature is there.
I guess my question is, did it make any difference that Ru Jing had a teacher? Would he have found it on his own if his teacher didn't understand it?
That was
one question I had before.
Teacher didn't understand.
According to her, the teacher didn't understand Dharma nature.
Uh-huh.
So how could he transmit it to Eugene?
Right, that's they study the koan in the book of record, you know, Seppo's Nansen was asked, asked about the truth, you know, they finally say, what is the truth? You know, I know the truth. The truth is something very clear and nothing to be left. And then he said, the monk says, how do you know? He said, I don't know. And then he said, if you don't know, how do you know? How do you say so? You know? He left. Do you understand that one?
Did he snap his sleeve?
Huh? Yes. Snapping his sleeve, you know. So he said, so snapping his sleeve means, he said, in this coin, he says, you are pretty smart. The bar. Leave. He says so. Okay? So, the Jin's teacher didn't understand the Dharma. It doesn't mean usual sense. Okay? Doesn't mean not understand in the usual sense. If you really touch, you don't know. You don't know. Do you understand? Well, for instance, if you really deeply understand, you cannot say anything. So that's why people say, you seem to be happy. You say, I don't know. You know? But you seem to be happy, but actually you don't know.
Well, now it sounds like those teachers for 200 years really knew something, and Ru Jing didn't know anything. Because Dogra said he knew and they didn't know.
Well, that means, of course, there are some more teachers. Okay? Some more teachers, probably. But in the history, I don't know. I don't know exactly how many teachers there. And also, there is the opportunity, very specific opportunity which Dogen Zenji can get and manifest Buddha natures, Buddha's way. That opportunity was the encounter between Mujin and Dogen. That's all. Okay. For instance, if you practice here and attain enlightenment exactly through this place, and then you say nothing else, you know, nothing, nowhere, you can learn the Buddha's teaching in the United States only here. You really believe in that way. It is not egoistic. It's really strong. Strong confidence. Total respect. Okay? The word we say, only Ru Jin understood Dharma. Rest of the Zen teacher didn't. That is really strong trust and respect Ru Jin. But it doesn't mean criticizing others. In other words, pay attention to this person's and also person's life and person's dharma. Okay. Pay attention to this. In the broad scale of the world where many other teachers who make every possible effort to develop Buddhism there. Okay. But anyway, pay attention to this person. That point Dogen Zenji really want to bring up.